Ramsey TV.
Okay, the big question today is, can I, Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, can I give an overview of the armor of God and finish it in one show? That's the question. Yes, I plan on having this light back here. I need it for encouragement. I'm going to use this for encouragement too. It's old number 7. Yeah, standard Jack Daniels. This might not help because I'll just talk more about this topic. I love the topic of the armor of God because it's so misunderstood. Somebody told me I already did, like I did an exhaustive thing a while back, like I did 4 or 5 or 6 shows. I'm not surprised if I did. It sounds like something I would do. But nevertheless, I'm going to emphasize something completely different, I'm pretty sure, about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. But the big deal here is I'm going to do it all in one show. So here we go. Ephesians 6. I got one important thing to tell you about Ephesians 6. This is the different thing. This is what I don't think I've emphasized enough before. This is going to comfort the daylights out of you. Satan's not going to like it, though. I don't care. I really don't care if Satan does. In fact, I'm glad he doesn't like it. Satan has no effective frontal attacks against you. He has given up on frontal attacks because they always work against him. He does learn over time because God works all together for good, Romans 8:28. How? That stymies Satan every time. Satan says, "Jeez, I can't bring anything bad against these people. It's always working for their good, brings them more glory, shows them more of God." It's like, I'm tired of this crap. Frustrating. So Satan goes back to his laboratory, and he comes up with another plan. And the plan is, you know what? I'm a liar and the father of lies, but I'm going to take it to the next level. And I'm just going to double down on lying. So Paul reveals to us in Ephesians 6 that the armor of God protects us not from Satan's frontal attacks, because those only work for your benefit. Forget about that. I mean, I always tried to figure out, is this attack from God or from Satan? And then I realized, forget the middleman. Just like Job did. Job never mentioned Satan the entire book of Job after all this stuff happened. Even though Satan was the hands-on guy, God was doing all of it, using Satan as an agent, an intermediary. And Job never talked to Satan for the rest of the book. Ooh, that must have irritated Satan. I like it when that happens. I really do. Somebody could say, "Hey, Martin Zender, you're acting kind of bold there against Satan. Aren't you scared?" No. Because Peter says, your plaintiff, the adversary, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me ask you, what's the most important word in that statement? Satan walks about the earth as a roaring lion? I just emphasized it. It's as. Your kid might go out on Halloween dressed as a tube of toothpaste. Is your kid a tube of toothpaste? Very well then. Satan is not a roaring lion. He's been defanged, declawed. And now he's this liar. Double down on lies. And so the armor of God protects you from Satan's lies. And that's helpful when you go into this to know that. Because the way Christians depict the armor of God, they have these illustrations and these graphics, these cartoons of this person with all this armor on, and they're fighting. See, Christians. Christians. That was a Freudian slip. Christians like the idea that they're in this life and death frontal defense from Satan's frontal attacks. It tickles them. That's why they illustrate these Christian soldiers in this armor. But this is never your armor. It's not your armor. It's the armor of God. You see, that's why you come to this show. That's why you tune in to MZTV. It's the armor of God. It's God's armor. You just come under the influence of it. It's God's armor, not yours. The armor of God. I better get launched on it or I'm not going to fulfill my promise here. Already 5 minutes in. I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. For the rest, brethren, mine, be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength. There you go. This is his strength. It's his armor. Put on the panoply of God. Okay, I'm reading from the Concordant Literal New Testament. Panoply. I don't like that word because it's a weird word. But it is, you know, A.E. Nock, the compiler of the Concordant version, had to come up with an English word that meets this Greek word. And it's every implement. I believe that's the element, the English elements of the Greek word are every implement. And a panoply, I guess, is everything. I don't know what a panoply is. All I know is that this is the armor of God, and it's complete, and you don't need any other pieces than what is described here. Now, here we go. Be invigorated in the might of his strength. Put on the panoply of God. I did a whole show on that put on the tense of that verb, or the voice. It's the middle voice, not the active voice, not the passive voice, not that you grab it and put it on. It's not that you just passively sit there and it comes to you. It's like you come under the influence of it. This is also known as a realization of the truth. You come to a realization that this armor is engaged right now on your behalf. It exists. You don't have to grab it. You don't have to name it and claim it. It's there. You just have to come to a realization that it's there. And that's what I want you to have today. What will this do? Well, put on panoply. What? Put on the panoply of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. This word stratagems, methodia, method. Inherent in the word stratagem is a trick. It's a sleight of hand. It's a deceit. Stratagems. It's a backroom, smoke-filled backroom planning session where Satan meets with his minions and they come up with a new plan because, damn it, the cross was so evident. The cross of Christ was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ stripped off the powers and the principalities, made an open show of them. So they're freaking stripped. They're done. So what else can they do? This. Their main goal now, Satan and his minions, they have to lie about what happened. They have to divert your attention to some other place. They don't want you to find out what happened at the cross. And so one of their strategies was inventing religions. Religions are the best strategy Satan ever had to divert your attention from what happens at the cross. Because every single religion emphasizes your power, your ability, your responsibility to save yourself. Satan loves that. He invented it. That's one of the lies. The whole Christian religion is a lie. That's one of the stratagems. And they, the people running these churches in any religion, but the Christian religion is the most guilty, they thrive on the fact that you need them to overcome your sin. You need them to worship, to know how to worship God correctly. You need them to keep up this emotional fervor to make sure that you're right with God, always doubting you're right with God. They need you to doubt that you're right with God, because as soon as you're assured of it, then you leave the church. You don't need them anymore. And you just go about your day in this wonderful knowledge of this sheen of protection of God. You can't screw it up. Grace is there. You were designated beforehand, like me and like you. We don't need their circus tricks. We don't need their stratagems. They have stratagems too, the church. But we're going to find out that we are wrestling not with the church, but with Satan, because Satan is behind the church. Satan is behind that entity, that organized entity that lies to you. How do you know they're lying? Their lips are moving. That's stratagems. How am I doing? I'm doing pretty good. I might make it. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh. There it is. But Martin, we're wrestling with blood and flesh. I'm looking at my mother-in-law. She's right there in front of me. Blood and flesh. And she's arguing with me. She's condemning me. She's telling me I'm crazy. She's telling me I'm a sinner. She's telling me there's no way I'm saved. For what? Because of what I believe. But what Paul's saying here is you're not wrestling with your mother-in-law. You're wrestling with the sovereignties and authorities, with the world mights of this darkness. So just tell your mother-in-law, please be quiet, because you're a world might of this darkness, okay? You're a member of the spiritual forces of wickedness. Okay, you don't even realize it, but that's what you are. I'm sorry. Don't shoot the messenger, Phyllis. Then we don't wrestle with these people. They're the ones in front of us, but there's something behind it. There's an adversary, spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials behind Phyllis, who want you to give it all up. They want you to doubt your salvation. They want you to doubt that God calls you righteous. They want you to doubt all of it. Doubt the salvation of all. Doubt that God cares about you. Doubt that the word of God is true. Doubt that you're looking at a good translation. Doubt. That will come to you from human beings, but its origin is said right here. Sovereignties, authorities, world mites of this darkness. See, if I go into sovereignties, authorities, and world mites, I'll never finish, so I just got to skip over that. But these are nasty, nasty creatures. But they don't have anything on you because you're protected with the sheen of Christ, with the sheen of God. And the armor protects you. It's on duty. This armor works while you're sleeping. It even works while you're doubting the armor. It's still working. Even when you doubt that the armor is there, it's still there. It doesn't care what you think of it. So it helps to be in a consciousness, a conscious realization of it all the time. That helps. You should. I want you to be that way. I'm that way. I want you to be that way. With spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. Therefore, that is, because these evil entities exist, and because they're working through your mother-in-law, Phyllis, or your wife, or your husband. Oh, and these people, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. These people can be as sincere and apparently well-meaning and soft-spoken, and they might look good, with the exception of your mother-in-law, Phyllis. But, you see, take a lesson from Peter, who, in all sincerity, with all good intentions, after his Lord prophesied of his suffering and death, Peter said, "Lord, God forbid that this should happen to you." I'm sure he said it just like that. What did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." Oh, oh, I love that. I love that. What spiritual insight. You remember those comic books you read as a kid and you get those glasses with X-ray vision and they advertise that you can look through women's clothes and all that? Well, this is even more valuable to have the X-ray vision to see what's behind these gentle, loving attempts to dissuade you from the completeness of the cross. There it is. Don't be tricked by the nice presentation, because that's Satan's modus operandi. All the time, he's disguised as a messenger of light and his ministers as dispensers of righteousness. But they're not. They're evil liars. They might not even realize they're evil liars. They don't. I doubt they do. Peter didn't know. "Therefore, take up the panoply of God that you may be enabled. This is ongoing. There's a little stroke, a little vertical stroke in front of the word enabled in the Concordant version. And it means it's ongoing. It's the incomplete verb form. It's ongoing action. You may be continuously enabled. That's the essence of this in the Greek. To withstand in the wicked day." In the wicked day. We don't need the armor of God. After we're snatched away, we're going to be perfected. We're going to be immortal. We don't have to worry about it. We need the armor of God now in the wicked day. We are in the wicked day. That's when we need this. It's essential that we have it. And we do have it. That's my message to you. The armor of God is now operating on our behalf. Withstand in the wicked day. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. You're going to withstand this. You're going to get through this. Okay? "And having effected all to stand." Stand then. Just stand under it. Just stand under it. Standing is a figure of speech for coming to a realization of it. "Stand then, girded about your loins with truth." Truth. Where do you find the truth? In the scriptures. And we're going to get to that. That's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You believe what God tells you, not what Phyllis tells you. You fly by your instruments, which is a scripture. Screw what Phyllis thinks. Stand then, girded. Hang on. Stand then, girded about your loins with truth, with a cuirass of righteousness put on. A cuirass. Why don't they just say breastplate, Martin? All the other versions say breastplate. What's a cuirass? Never heard of it. Why do I have to look things up in the dictionary? Your version's too hard, Martin Zender. Well, because a breastplate only covers the front of you, you silly person. We need more than a breastplate. We need the whole thing. We need our back covered, because that's where Satan does it. He's a backstabber. He comes at you from behind. He lies. If you need anything, you need the protection in the back. Well, a cuirass, if you look it up, it's a armor that covers the whole body, the whole upper torso. And that's what you want. Front and back covered. That's a cuirass of righteousness put on. And your feet sandaled. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even talk about the righteousness. The righteousness is that God has justified you and God has declared you to be just. That's the righteousness that you put on. That's the breastplate that protects you. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. God says I'm righteous. That's the cuirass of righteousness. No matter what Phyllis says to you, no matter what people say about you, you're righteous. I had somebody tell me not long ago, Martin Zender, you're going to be judged for what you said. You're going to be judged. I forget what I said. Some wonderful thing. I'm going to be judged for that. I said, no, I'm not. No, I came right back. Boom. That quick. No, I'm not. Person was aghast, astounded, appalled. How can you be so sure? Because I put on the armor of God. I have the cuirass of righteousness on me. You can't get me from the front. You can't get me from the back. I'm justified. So screw you. I didn't say that, but that was my attitude. That has to be your attitude. You can't entertain it for a moment. You can't even entertain it. Well, maybe I'm not justified. That's what Satan wants you to do. You've stepped out from under the armor. Well, maybe they're right. Maybe you've stepped out right there. You've stepped out. No, put it on and keep it on. Cuirass of righteousness and your feet sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace, the gospel of peace, that God is at peace with you. That's the evangel of peace. You not only declare it, sandals suggest you're moving with it. You're moving with it. Okay, that's good. We want to take it out. We want to announce the evangel because we are ambassadors of God. As of God speaking through us, be conciliated to God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're at peace. Let no one take that away from you. With all taking up the large shield of faith. There you go. Large shield of faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed. Are you observing that you're righteous? No. Are you observing that that God is at peace with you? Not always. But faith tells you you are. And that the first thing Satan wants to do is rattle your faith. And he'll do it through Phyllis. Oh, yeah. He'll commandeer Phyllis. He'll hijack that woman and use her or your husband or your wife or your kids to talk you out of the fact that God is at peace with you and that you should be walking in peace. You should not be disturbed or disquieted by anything inside of you. We all have crap going on inside of us. We all have terrible thoughts. We all do wrong things. Not on purpose. Well, sometimes maybe we do it on purpose. Nevertheless, you know, don't let Satan sow these doubts in you that, well, now God can't be at peace with you after you did that. How could you say God's at peace with you after that? Some people think drinking whiskey is a sin. Old number 7, Jack Daniels from the distillery in Tennessee. I don't think it is. Some people do. They'll condemn me for it. I don't see in the scripture where drinking alcohol is a sin. You're not supposed to get drunk, but I'm not drunk, nor am I intending to get drunk. Have I been drunk before? Yeah, a few times. Don't like it. I'm not in the habit. It's not good. Don't do it. Taking up the large shield of faith, by which you will be able to extinguish. That's what I'm talking about here. Extinguish all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. Fiery arrows. Ooh, look at those arrows. They're on fire. Oh, what a pyrotechnic display of complete inadequacy. Do you know why the people here in Fort Lauderdale drive around with their fancy sports cars? Because they're inadequate. They need it to feel good about themselves. It's a show. It's a front. So these fiery arrows, an arrow will do the job if you want to kill somebody. Why the fire? Hey, Satan, why the fire? Because it's scary. Oh, look at the light. Look at the fire. Just like the Wizard of Oz. I use that example all the time.
I'm the great and powerful Oz.
What a pyrotechnic display. You remember that? Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow. That Tin Man was a rattling bunch of junk. They're all trembling. Why? Pyrotechnics were impressive. A fire coming out from the side. You got that big green head with the big skull with the veins showing and that mouth going rah, rah, rah. Scared the crap out of him. Scared the Cowardly Lion so much he jumped out the window. What do you find out at the end of the movie? You find out that the Wizard of Oz is a little man behind a curtain controlling the jets of fire, checking the propane levels, make sure his fire can come out. Fiery arrows. Forget about it. Don't be impressed. It's a front. It's a feint. It's a stratagem. Don't let it work on you. Fiery arrows of the wicked one. Ooh. And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is a declaration of God. What's the helmet of salvation? That God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. So he's especially the Savior of you, but he's the Savior of everybody. That does good for you. That's good for your soul to think that, to know that, to meditate on that. That does you good. Satan doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think that God's going to torment most of humanity in hell for eternity, even after sending his son to take away sin. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. If you even accept that notion for a second, you don't have the helmet of salvation on. If you doubt your salvation for a minute, and most Christians do, over and over again, they go to the altar call over and over again. I just got to make sure. How do I know it worked the last time? Oh, geez. I guess you don't know nothing. I guess you know nothing about the armor of God. It's a pity. You should watch MZTV. Send people this show who don't know about this. And the sword of the Spirit, which is a declaration of God. This is your sword, people. This is your offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. The rest of it is defensive, defending you against Satan's lies. The only piece of offensive weaponry in this context is the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, what did he use? The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He answered him every time with Scripture. And Satan withered after that. He hates that. He hates the Scripture. Because the Scripture is on our side. The Scripture says we're righteous. The Scripture says God's the Savior of all humanity. The Scripture says God is at peace with us. Scripture says we're justified apart from works of law. The Scripture says we're going to be snatched away, whether we're watching or drowsing, and meet the Lord in the air and be forever with the Lord. Scripture says that. So who is anyone else to say something different? Sure as hell not Satan.